Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Jason Chu, a couple of texts I want to get to on the Carblish Talking text line. AB from Milwaukee saying the needles for dry needling, thinner than a hair.
Yeah.
Chu could look away, not notice. Stanley saying the needles are small, doesn't hurt. Casey saying dry needling helped for the back, does not hurt at all. But I do have one from the private Talking text line where my buddy David says, head needling, it works. They're super long, but very, very thin.
I will deal with that pain to get rid of the pain that I have.
Okay. There we go. We welcome now
I'll give it a run.
Okay. I just wanted to get those talking, texts
Thank
in
you.
From the Carblers Talking text line. We now welcome in our friend, our teammates. We welcome in Jason Will, the Dude Tuesday edition of Jason. What's going on, bro?
I don't think dry needling gets rid of the pain that I have on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Friday.
In your ears?
Exactly. No. Great to be with you. Where's the boss today? She's getting ready for the national championship?
I don't know if she was going to Columbus or Cleveland, but she was going somewhere in Ohio for the story that she's got for the national championship game, which, of course, is coming up on Monday, which you can listen to right here on 94.5 ESPN. She's got a story about somebody for the Buckeyes.
I don't know how you figure out whether to cheer for Notre Dame or Ohio State.
Well,
not her, us.
I have a daughter that goes to Ohio State, to which my wife caved and is now sending her to the championship game. Caved?
Wow. Caved.
So I ran the numbers, Jason, is like 4,000. And my daughter's good at negotiating, very good, but it didn't take long to, okay.
Wow.
I'm happy.
I had no idea about that. You're such a mystery to me these days.
Imagine doing a show with him every day.
Myself as well. See, that's a shot, Gabe. That's an unnecessary shot
what?
That you took when
me?
You're supposed to be my guy.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I was your guy, and then you decided that dry January meant you could have some drinks this weekend.
Jason, instead of doing a dry January, I'm doing a damp January in February.
A moist January. Hey, you live by your own code, brother. You just do what you need to do.
Speaking of living by your own code, Jaire Alexander, Jason, he did not have a long interaction with those who were in the locker room yesterday, but you know, basically saying, hey, I don't have anything good to say, so I'm not going to speak. Don't know if I'm going to be back. That basically puts the nail in the coffin, right? Like, Jaire Alexander is no longer going to be a Green Bay Packer, and at some point this offseason, he is going to be traded or released.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's aware of that. Again, at some point, it would be great. And here was my frustration yesterday. So he comes in, and everyone was around someone else's locker. I can't remember who, but Chewy knows this, like the group kind of moves like an amoeba through the locker room, right? Like somebody's talking, the whole gaggle goes over to that person. And then that's where, you know, sometimes I'm able to do some of my best work is I leave the mass of reporters and go track someone else down. While, you know, like I got Zach Tom that way yesterday. Zach Tom does not like large interviews. He just doesn't like it. So I had a good conversation with him. He admitted he didn't have a very good season, which I thought was interesting. That Peck was really a factor for him. But the group is over somewhere else, and I see Jaire come in. And one of the benefits of doing this for a really long time, and I certainly, you know, wasn't at that point when I was covering Chewy, but, you know, guys that are there every single day, guys that you've known for a long time, from a reporter's standpoint, players are more likely to talk to you, right? Even if they don't want to. And so I said, hey, you got a minute? He's like, okay, sure. And so we're standing by his locker, and maybe I should have played this differently. Maybe I should have said, hey, can I walk with you or something to get him away? Because then a couple of TV stations peel off the big group. They come over, and then he's like, no, I'm not talking. And I'm like, God dang it. Because I don't know about you, but of the mysteries of the season, he is probably the biggest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to get real answers. And then, you know, then he says what he did about, I don't have anything good to say, so I'm definitely not talking. And I was, and I understand they have work to do too, but I would just say this, there was no way he was ever going to do TV today, yesterday. He just wasn't. And so then they leave and he decides to leave and I'm following him, which is always a demoralizing deal. I said, all right, so do we do this now? He's like, no, forget it. I'm not doing it. And off he went. And I don't think we'll ever see him again. He went out the door and that'll be his departure. So I don't know until someone else is willing to explain what the organization's frustration with him exactly was. I still think that he just didn't feel like his knee was properly healed, and he doesn't want to play when he's not 100%, and I think other people didn't like that belief, and then he had this surgery to alleviate the swelling. But Matt LaFleur, and I don't crush him for a lot of things. I know a lot of people have gotten after him lately. But him not being able to talk about Bakhtiari previously and then Jair this year without kind of showing his frustration, I don't think that helps anybody.
Jason, do you think this reaction is from the vibe he feels in the building or through social media?
No, I think it's
because when you're hurt, Jason, and you know I have my share of injuries, they don't talk to you. They don't talk to you, really. You know, they ignore you, and they think that's going to cause you to come back quicker. So what I'm saying, is it coming from there, or is it coming from social media, you think?
No, I think it's coming from the vibe in the building and how he feels personally. Like, I don't think he wants to be here. And that is what I wanted to get to with him, frankly, is because, I mean, let's not lose sight of the fact that after he had that pick six in Tennessee, it was all seashells and balloons and puppy dogs and ice cream, right? Like, he loved Halfley. He loved the strength and conditioning staff. He had a better connection with the medical staff. And he even told our buddy Rob Domofsky that the suspension last year, maybe I really needed that. I mean, that was his quote to Rob. So, like, it felt like all was going to be right with the world this year. And quite frankly, after what was that, the third game of the season? You know, you're starting to think, okay, this guy's on kind of the Preston Smith plan. In even years, he's going to be an all-pro, right? Like the first three games, right? And you're like, okay, now he's finally kind of gotten his feet back on the ground with the organization. He hated Joe Barry. And now, I mean, remember, and I know he lost money with the suspension, so I'm sure that was part of it. But remember, two off seasons ago, he had a $700,000 workout bonus, and he blew it off. He didn't show. And then this year, with the same bonus, he did show. And I personally don't believe it was for the money. I believe that he was in a better place. So better off season, stronger start to the season, and yet we end up in almost the exact – in fact, we ended up in a worse spot than we did a year ago because, remember, he came back for the playoffs and had a pick against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think the chapter will close, and it's unfortunate, and I am curious if he'll be able to find a new team that will pay him money because the guaranteed money will have run out in his deal. I'm curious if he will play somewhere else and regain. I mean, the guy's only 28 years old, so he still should have plenty of good football in front of him.
Well, transitioning Jason to his replacement, it seems like he's posturing to get more money. Is that true?
Yeah, it was interesting because we talked to Keyshawn Nixon for quite a while, and he early on he dropped, you know, these I want to be the number one corner, you know, I'm going to be ready to lock up other guy, you know, the other guys, other team's number one guy, and he's never lacked for confidence. But then toward the end, that was when someone asked him, I think it was Ryan Wing from Fox 11 up here, you know, what did you think, you know, with an entire year now, what did you think of the kickoff, the new kickoff? And he said, I'm not really thinking about that. And that's when he announced that he was going to talk to the coaches to let them know that CB1s don't return kickoffs. It was very much a, was it Chucky Carr who said Chucky Hacks on 3-0?
Chucky Hacks on 2-0, yep. Chucky doesn't take Chucky Hacks on
3-0. Yeah, that's kind of how it felt.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Thank you, Jason.
Who remember that baseball story from the Brewers season many years ago? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, again, and I have an awesome relationship with Keyshawn. I did that story about his mom and going through cancer and all this stuff. And, you know, he trusts me. But I was, when he said that, I was kind of like, ooh. Like, of all the days to make that proclamation,
yeah, stupid.
Doing it the day after you fumbled to start the playoff game. And look, I thought that was going to be the most important thing we talked about, was that he believed it was a helmet-to-helmet hit and that he definitely recovered the ball. And then in the pile, as Chewy knows, because he's been in those piles before, he had a couple of different players that each one pulled an arm to get the ball out, and then somebody else snared it. So, you know, I thought that was going to be the most significant thing we got out of him. But, nope, he had other plans. So he did play well. I don't know if he played at a, you know, top-flight corner level, but he did play well at corner outside, which he had not gotten the chance to do. But, yeah, that was unexpected. I would be lying if I said I saw that coming.
Jason, were you part of the media that was in front of Tucker Kraft's locker yesterday?
I was not, but I saw the clip. And Tucker's an interesting cat now, man. Like, he's definitely not Chewy with that corner locker that you couldn't get to. Like, he talks extensively. He got votes in our Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Guy Award balloting. But I was a little... Were you surprised by... For those that didn't hear it, these comments about how you could feel that this was kind of brewing with the way that they lost to the Eagles, and then we need to wake up.
The team
needs to wake up.
Yeah. Those two were strong, and, you know, he's talking about next year he wants to be more of a leader, which makes sense, you know, going into year three. Sure. But, yeah, the whole what's brewing for us and we need to wake up, like that to me says something was going on that maybe nobody was really aware of behind closed doors.
So the brewing thing, I took that as they were playing like garbage.
Sure.
And that was what was brewing, right?
But then when you pair that with the wake up,
yep,
like there could be a deeper meaning as well.
There could be, or he could just have been riffing, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, I here's the thing, and I would say this to Tucker's face. So I don't know if you announce that you're going to be more of a leader. I think you do things to take on leadership, and then people follow you, right? Like, look, I know I do this at an annoying level, but I've been having a similar conversation with Sydney, who's 13. She was elected a captain on her volleyball team, and we were talking about leadership because she's great because she got basically the best of Paula, the best of me, and then on top of that, the worst of me, which kind of sucks for her. But she's so good with people and her teammates. And I said, you know, you have to understand, and she does have kind of a, again, this I am not the cool dad, but I have a cool job where I get to be around a lot of great athletes and people who understand team dynamics. And I do think that there's some value in that for young athletes like the two that live in my house, right? And so you get to have those conversations with her. And I literally, I didn't get to do it last night because she had basketball practice, but I was thinking about the Tucker Kraft quote because I just, I don't think that's how leadership works. And I've never seen guys make that. Chewy, tell me if I'm wrong. Like, you don't tell everyone you're going to be a leader.
Yes. No. We had guys like that, Jason, when I first got there. There was this one D lineman who got hurt, like, the first game of the year, who wouldn't shut up. You know, he's a roid boy. And he just, everyone was like, every time he spoke, it's like, geez, I'm crow. Here we go. Come on, Pack. Come on, Pack. That's what he'd say. We'd be like, will you shut up? You know? Yeah. A leadership role has to be anointed to you, not given out by yourself. It's just, yeah, he's got to be careful there, Jason.
And look, maybe, I'm not trashing him. I was taken aback by that quote. But, like, maybe he does, you know, he's a young guy who played at South Dakota State, who barely played his rookie year the first half of the season, and now has experienced a ton of success. So I get it. At the same time, you know, if you want to take on a greater leadership role, because, look, the way he plays the game lends itself to leadership.
Oh, yeah, because he plays hard.
Absolutely. Right,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not – all I'm saying is I personally don't think that the proclamation is what we're looking for there. But, again, the reason I bring that up is because from a kind of global perspective on what he said, I don't know what to make of it. Like, I don't know if that's – there was real trouble brewing or, you know, who needed a wake-up call? Like, does he think that they – like, did he say that not understanding – how strong of a statement that is, right? Like, if his wake-up call is, hey,
if he wants to be a leader, he needs to realize how strong of a statement that is.
Right, right. And so, like, if his wake-up call line was, hey, we need to be more dialed in on the details. Well, that's not really what we mean when we talk about wake-up calls. Like, you need to get your blank together is the wake-up call. Like, we're not focused or there's infighting or the guys don't care enough, all those types of things. And so I'm always leery of making too much of a quote if I don't have more context. And again, I was talking to somebody else at that point, so I was not there. But it definitely popped off the page. There's no doubt about it to me.
Jason, which franchise you think is feeling their oats a little more today? A team that lost last night badly, but far exceeded expectations, or a team that beat no one all year long and had an early exit to the playoffs? But there were rumblings of a potential Super Bowl berth this year. Which building you think feels worse?
Yeah, that's a good question because can you tell me what teams you're referring to first?
The Vikings and the Pack.
Yeah, I know. I was just being funny. I think the Vikings situation is fascinating because, like, I don't know how your last impression of Sam Darnold playing the way he did, how you ignore that and then say, no, he's the guy. Like, I can't wait to see what they do. Like, I'm super, super interested because he didn't play well in the Lions game either, right? Like, he finished.
No,
he didn't.
And it kind of undid all this kind of Cinderella story of this guy revitalizing his career. So I'll say this. The Packers aren't in denial. Like, I thought for all the, you know, oh, we were so close in all these other games against good teams. You know, I talked to five or six guys yesterday, and it was Javon Bullard, a rookie 22-year-old, that put it best. Like, he's like, look, we want to believe we're a good team. We didn't beat any of the good teams. You can't keep saying that if you don't beat an elite team. I think we're a good team. Our record says we're a good team, but we didn't beat any of the good teams. And I thought, you know, here's a dude that played on back-to-back national championship teams at Georgia. I thought it was great to hear a young guy. Now, that's leadership, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's leadership. That's saying, hey, we thought we were better than we were. We didn't do it when the chips were on the table. We got to be better in those situations. That showed me something about him.
Jason, and real quick, because I want to be the first one that says it. First one. Will the Vikings kick the tires on Aaron Rodgers?
Oh. We'll discuss that on Thursday when I rejoin.
I wanted to be the first.
Man. Chewy, this is the second day in a row Chewy's doing it. Now, this is an extended tease all the way to Thursday, but Chewy's putting together some pretty big teases over the first 2 days of this week, Jason. We certainly appreciate it, but before we let you go, on the Carbless Talking text line, Adam says, dudes hanging out, laughing at the word moist. Must be a dude Tuesday. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, diagnosis buddy. Of this show right on point. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The Tucker Kraft sound, I want you to hear that, Chewy. I want you to hear and what you hear from Tucker Kraft, the Packers tight end, who had some pretty strong things to say yesterday as the Packers were cleaning out their locker rooms. But I do want to let people know, find out what all the screaming is about. It is National Pizza Week, and our friends at Palermo's, they know how to celebrate. With BOGO on Scream It Sicilian at Pick and Save in Metro Market, Scream It Sicilian thin and crispy pizzas. Buy one, get one through January 14th. You got to go. You got to get them today. It's a great time to stock your freezer with all your favorite Scream It Sicilian flavors. Or maybe you stock up at Piggly Wiggly. That is going to be happening later as well. All your Scream It Sicilian favorites are on sale for just $6.99. And when we talk about Palermo's, we talk about all the different brands. But within Screamin' Sicilian stuffed crust, Detroit style, Screamin' Sicilian tavern style, or just the regular Screamin' Sicilian, all on sale at Piggly Wiggly for $6.99 through January 21st. Always celebrate whatever the occasion is with Palermo's, but especially when it's National Pizza Week and National Pizza Month. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.